You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
When you first become a dad, you do a lot of questioning of yourself. Am I up to being a father? Am I making the right decisions? How in the world does this car seat buckle in? It's natural to ask these questions and even to doubt yourself and your parenting abilities. We oftentimes will even compare ourselves to other parents to see if what we're doing stands up to other great dads. Well, sadly, there's a new dad on the scene who has set the parenting bar unreasonably high, and his name is Bandit Healer. If you have children of a certain age, that name will no doubt be familiar to you as the all-too-relatable dad on the cartoon Bluey. Never in the history of children's entertainment have the joys and the frustrations of parenthood been more accurately portrayed. From the real frustrations of raising young kids, to the relationship between mom and dad, to the absolute joy of crop dusting one of your children. It captures parenting perfectly, but with cartoon dogs. The thing that makes Bandit such a great character isn't that he's the perfect dad. He really isn't. He messes things up. He loses his cool. He makes mistakes. It's that all of those things make him so relatable, and that he loves his children completely. Watching him pretend to be a robot or get down on the floor to play with Bluey and Bingo makes me long for the days when my kids wanted to do nothing else but play make-believe with me. I've got a little bit of playtime left, but it's fading fast, and Bandit reminds me that I should get down on the floor and enjoy it while I can. I've been playing PlayStation games since the PS1. I've owned every Sony console since the PlayStation 2, including the PSVR. The Last of Us is one of my favorite game series of all time, and I adore games like God of War, Spider-Man, and the Uncharted series. All of this is to say that in no universe could I be considered biased against Sony. So when I say that I think PlayStation has lost its way, it comes as criticism from a longtime PlayStation fan who is seriously disappointed in the direction the company has chosen to go. Coming off of the PlayStation 4 generation, it seemed like Sony could do no wrong. Developers loved them, gamers loved them, and sales for the PS4 were astronomical after positioning themselves as the platform for the players. They were in a dominant position in the industry, and after selling more than 100 million consoles, it seemed certain that the momentum they had gained would carry over into the next generation. And by and large, I'd say it has. The PlayStation 5 has been a smash hit despite serious supply constraints, and it has done this on the back of a steady lineup of highly regarded first-party games. But while Sony has every reason to celebrate that success, they also should be concerned because the goodwill and trust of the gaming community has slowly been withered away due to a near constant series of missteps by CEO Jim Ryan. The issues were mostly mild at first, like his dismissing of the appeal of backwards compatibility while attending a Gran Turismo event and checking out early entries in the series, saying, "They looked ancient. Why would anybody play this?" Or his years of fighting against the implementation of cross-platform play, despite the outcry of both players and developers who wanted it to happen. He's also criticized the subscription model for years, stating that if Sony first-party games launched on PlayStation Plus, that the quality would suffer, despite evidence to the contrary. All of these comments, though, are easily explainable as jabs at features that Xbox heavily promoted on their own consoles, so it makes sense that he would downplay them. Other statements that Ryan has made, however, are less easily brushed aside. There was, of course, the time that he responded to the impending overturning of Roe v. Wade and the rights of thousands of his employees being stripped away, with an email asking people to, quote, respect differences of opinion. And then he spent the rest of the communication wishing his kitty cats a very happy birthday. This obviously did not go over very well, and there was so much backlash from within Sony that they were forced to quietly make a donation to the Women's Reproductive Rights Assistance Project in an attempt to cool that outrage. And then there are the recent comments regarding Microsoft's pending acquisition of Activision Blizzard, which, and I cannot overstate this, have been baffling. I understand their concern over the acquisition, and I think it's in their best interest to try and shine a spotlight on it. Xbox having control of Call of Duty, the Blizzard library, and mobile developer King will undoubtedly be huge for Microsoft and their increasing position in the industry, and it'll have a negative effect on Sony's business to some extent. But if they're going to make a case against this deal, they need to do it with real facts and data to back up their claims. Instead, what they've been doing is laying out a constant barrage of what can only really be described as lies and misinformation. Sony has made the claim that Microsoft could pull Call of Duty from PlayStation platforms and make it an exclusive, despite numerous and exhaustive comments from Xbox head Phil Spencer that they have no intention of doing that. They've also repeatedly made claims about how bad it would be for a game with such a huge fan base to become exclusive, despite console exclusivity being a major strategy for their own brand with games like Final Fantasy, and even going so far as to pay to keep publishers from releasing games on Xbox's Game Pass service. Then there were last week's bizarre comments that came regarding the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, which has been looking into the acquisition. Sony made the stunning claim that if the deal were to go through, it would be devastating for the industry and, quote, faced with weaker competition, Microsoft would be able to increase console and game prices for Xbox users. You know, the exact thing that Sony has done with the PlayStation 5 this generation. And regarding Microsoft's comments that Nintendo proves that a console's success is not tied directly to its having Call of Duty games, Sony responded by saying that this reveals Microsoft's true strategy for PlayStation to become like Nintendo so that it would be a less close and effective competitor to Xbox. Because, you know, we all know how much the Nintendo Switch has struggled to be competitive. Again, I understand their need to fight this acquisition. It's business. But what I take issue with is their distortion of the facts and treating their customers, like me, like we're idiots. Anyone with any knowledge of this industry can see right through their claims, and it's kind of insulting that they think people don't know better. Or maybe they just don't care. And I think that's part of the bigger problem. The company just doesn't seem to care that much about what people think. The only thing that matters is profits. So, will these problems hurt the sales of the PlayStation? Probably not. I don't think so, at least not in the near term. As long as they keep releasing hit games, they'll most likely be able to avoid any major consequences for their choices. But I think that that can only last for so long, and PlayStation needs a major change in strategy and perhaps leadership before the damage that they've done actually starts to sink the ship. Last week, I had an appointment at the dentist for a routine cleaning. Because I have dental anxiety, I always have them give me the gas to relax me. And because of that, they always check my blood pressure to make sure that everything's all good before doping me up. Well, this time it wasn't. They wouldn't treat me because my blood pressure was at a near dangerous level. I'm already on medication for it, but for whatever reason, it was quite high that day. I went home, called my doctor, who told me to monitor it for a while and get back to him. So I've been taking it twice a day for over a week now. The numbers have fluctuated, but it's still going back and forth between high and oh crap. Sitting at home and thinking about what could possibly happen if it goes up by more than a few numbers has been scary and a bit sobering. I've always taken it for granted that, you know, I am by no stretch of the imagination a healthy specimen. It's never been that bad. I've never had any major concerns. And now I was thinking about what would happen if I had a stroke or if I died. So I'm making some changes in my life. I'm cutting out caffeine. I'm drinking water at work every day and at home instead of soda. I'm cutting down on my sodium intake. And I'm going to make a real effort to start exercising and losing weight. I'm 45 now, and I can't take my health for granted anymore. And neither should you. Listen to your body. Listen to your doctor. Start taking care of yourself before something bad happens. Make that appointment for a physical. It might save your life. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. You can catch new episodes every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And you can follow us on Twitter or Hive, where we go by @MidlifeSQ. Until next week, stay positive and keep playing.